your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome back. That's right. Continuing on to hour number two of the program. Your Friday is here, at least where we are, and we're ready to catapult you into the weekend. That's what we do. We got more of the best in money information coming up. The best in money advice is all just ahead. We're graced with the presence of Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. I'm Johnny Dean. Rick Plum here to answer all of your money questions. That's what we do on this program. Lots and lots of stuff to get to this hour. We still have some of these leftover gifting topics, and I'm going to bring up a couple of those here in the first segment with Professor Plum. Because once again, when you're talking about gifting, there are a whole lot of arms, different arms to this particular creature. So we will talk about that coming up in just a bit. But as always, your phone calls and your emails come first, especially your phone calls. So get your money questions ready. You grab your phone and you call us right here in the studio. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. You send your emails to us at wealthed.com. That's right where you see the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. And in case you weren't aware, you can also get in touch with the Brain Trust off the air. If you got a money question or you'd like an appointment with a Brain Trust advisor, you call Professor Plummer, anyone at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. We've been telling you for a long time, everyone's situation is different. What's suitable for one person may not be suitable for you, which is why you should call the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You have them go over your plans, go over your goals, your individual situation. Again, talk off the air at their number, 800-644-1150. You can also call us here in the studio. I would suggest you do so right now, 877-PLANNER. We've got the studios, the planner, planners in the studio, and the studios to help you out right now, 877-752-6637. So we were talking about gifting last hour, Professor Plum, and once again, trying to clear up some of the confusion on this. I had a question off the air on this last time that we started to talk about, but we didn't. And even though we sort of maybe talked a little bit about it, we can answer this question here. How is the basis on a gift determined? And first of all, what do we mean by that?
Well, and this is something that people call and say, you talk about these financial terms, basis and this, that, and everything. It's not normal for a lot of us to understand what that means. Basis is a starting point for determining gain or loss in a capital asset. So basis is where you start to look at how much after-tax money that won't be taxed again when you sell an asset. Typically, basis is what you paid for it. So if I buy a piece of raw land for $10,000, my basis in that land is $10,000. If I sell it, 5 years later for $15,000, I have a gain. My basis was 10, and I sold it for 15, so the difference, $5,000, is a taxable gain. If I sell it 5 years later for $6,000 instead of 15, I have a loss because I paid 10, my basis is 10, and my gain or my sales proceeds was 6. And so I lost money on that particular investment. So basis is determined by how, it's where I'm starting to determine my gain or loss. Now, when I make a gift, the basis that the recipient will have on the gift, obviously they didn't pay anything for it, so they don't have a purchase price that they can look back at, but actually they might because they have my purchase price that they can look back at. If I give that $10,000 piece of land to John, assuming the value of it is more than what I paid for it when I make the gift, then John has the same basis as I have. So if I give him the property when it's worth $15,000, but I paid $10 for it, His basis is 10. My basis transfers across. The donor's basis transfers across to the recipient if the value is equal to or greater than the basis at the time of the gift. But what if the value is lower? If I'm going to give the asset to him, but it's only worth $6,000, his basis is the lower of the current value, mm-hmm. or the donor's basis. And so I can gift a gain, but I cannot gift a loss. So if I give John that property when it's worth $15,000, when he sells it for $15,000 or more, he will have to pay the tax on the gain. We can't get rid of the gain by giving it away to somebody. On the other side, I can lose the loss if I give it to him. If I give it to him when it's worth less than what I paid for it, his basis is what the value at the day of the gift, and I didn't get to take the loss. He doesn't get to take the loss. It's just kind
of, it goes away.
The loss is lost.
That's right. It sort of vanishes, which is why if you have a loss in a particular asset, stock or whatever it happens to be, land, I don't know, whatever it is,
to sell it in your own name.
It's exactly. Go ahead.
Better to sell it in your own name, bankroll the loss, even if you can't use it all right now. If I give it away, I won't be able to use any of it, and neither will the person that receives it be able to use any of it. At least if I sell it at a loss, I can use $3,000 of it this year, $3,000 of it next year, at least I can use a little bit of it, even if it's not all of it between now and when I die. The person that receives it wouldn't be able to use any of it, and I wouldn't get any either. So
yeah,
it just doesn't necessarily work in that case. So you have to understand what's going on there. Now, when we're making charitable gifts, the fact that I paid $10,000 for it, but it was worth $15,000 when I gave it to the charity, doesn't matter. The value is $15,000. I made a gift of $15,000, $15,000 of value. I get to take a deduction for the $15,000, and I don't have to show the gain. And so giving charities appreciated assets, if I'm going to make a gift to charity anyway, in some cases it makes a lot more sense to give an appreciated asset rather than cash. Cash is cash. There's no avoidance of any tax. I've already paid the tax on the cash I have. But if I have a stock or a piece of real estate and I wanted to give them $15,000, I could give them $15,000, or I can give them $15,000 of land, in my example, that I now have ignored and been able to avoid the capital gain in that piece of asset.
Yeah, we've seen people who have done that to churches and stuff, where they've owned a home or something, and they've owned it for haven't lived in it, but or stock, whatever it is, and they've owned it for 40 years. You know, they paid $5,000 for it 40 years ago,
or some stock that I bought 40 years ago, and I have no idea what the basis is. I've been doing a dividend reinvestment plan for the last 40 years, and I have no. My grandparents gave it to me when I was born 50 some years ago. I have no idea what the basis was. I've just held on to it forever, but I know that it's worth $20,000 today. I can give it to the charity.
You can give it to the charity, yeah,
and I don't have to worry about the basis.
No, because and now all of a sudden you've got a $20,000.
Charitable deduction. Potentially, yes.
Well, assuming you can take it. And there's right. the other
Now, there
side
are limits
too.
On the charitable deductions, 30%, 50%, 20% of my adjusted gross income. I don't want to get into that right now. But the basis, what we're giving, the basis typically matters unless I'm giving it to charity.
Yeah. Well, it could matter, though, if you bought a stock 40 years ago for, $10,000 and, it was the...
Microsoft.
Or Microsoft or something. You bought it in 1975... Or
Costco,
whatever it was,
or Price Club.
Something like that. Yeah, and you
Boeing.
Bought,
you
took a flyer, and all of a sudden, it's that $5,000 is worth $5 million. I don't know, whatever it is. You can't now all of a sudden say, well, I've got a $5 million deduction on my tax return.
Oh, I could take a $5 million deduction on my tax return if I had $15 million of adjusted gross income.
Well, let's say you don't have that. Let's say you made $150,000. You did pretty well, but it's not.
Then I can only take a $50,000 deduction.
Yeah. So it's a percentage of your
adjusted gross income.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you're giving away. Are you giving cash? If you're giving cash to a public charity, a large charity, not a private foundation type thing, you can offset 50% of your adjusted gross income. If you're giving appreciated securities, you can only offset 30%, unless you only count the basis in the gift, and then it's a 50% gift again. aren't these rules fun?
Right. We had that with somebody who not all that long ago.
Yeah, we had it. Yeah.
Who was trying to? I don't remember the exact details of the call, but they had something that was worth $700.
They gave away $800,000 of either stock or land. Their basis was $700,000 or $600,000, and it was more beneficial for them to take it at the basis rather than the current value because they weren't going to be able to write it all off anyway. They could get a higher write-off by using the basis than they could by using the current value.
Right. So I guess what they don't want is you having to wipe out all of your income.
You can't wipe out all your income by being charitable. You can only wipe off a percentage of your income by being charitable.
Okay, once again, because that's the easiest way to understand it. How much you can actually wipe out of your income. It's 30% if you give appreciated.
If I use the current value of appreciated asset.
Right. You can only go up to 30% of your adjusted gross income?
Gross income.
Okay.
Now, what I can't write off in 1 year, I can carry forward for 5 years. So I may be able to use it over successive years. Or if I give cash, I can use up to a 50% deduction of my adjusted gross income. So if I make $200,000 a year, I can give any amount of money I want, but if I give more than $100,000, I can only write off $100,000 this year as an itemized deduction.
Oh, but yeah, that's right. I forgot. But you can carry it forward up to 5 years.
Yeah. So if I make $200,000 this year, and I give $200,000 away, whether it's in cash, let's call it, I can only write off income of $100,000 this year. So I can reduce my adjusted gross income or my taxable income by $100,000. But then next year I can do it again, even though I didn't make a gift next year. I'm using the remainder portion of this for next year.
So you got to account for that somewhere on your tax
return. On the tax returns. This is why accountants have good jobs.
And this is also why it's nice to invest in tax software that should know a lot of this stuff.
But you want to stay with the same software from year to year to year.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
It carries forward.
They know that too. They'll keep for a fee. They'll keep all your
if
information.
If you're dealing with those kinds of gifts, work with a CPA.
I would
work
suggest
with a good
you
tax preparer.
Stick around. There's more. 877-PLANNER. Room on the phones. Call now with your money questions. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Bucket Strategy Investing.
This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal. Many investors are well aware of the start the stock market had in 2016. According to CNN and other news agencies, the Dow dropped 5.5%, NASDAQ fell 7.8%. The losses raised the fear of whether we could be heading for another sustained market downturn like 2008, and for many, it raised the question, what should I do now? If the bumpy start to the year raised questions about how your retirement strategy may be exposed to market volatility, or if you don't have a strategy that takes stock fluctuation into account, schedule a consultation with a Lucia Capital Group advisor to review your portfolio. Learn what options you may have to take a fragile market into account. Contact a Lucia Capital Group advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or turn to us for education, advice, and planning online at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Advisory services offered through Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and member SIPC. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one, and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for. at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
GEICO applauds your inner journey seeker.
GEICO gives a hearty pat on the back to the part of you that just wants to get out and ride your motorcycle, to take to the open road, and let the wind and bugs fly your way. In fact, bring on the bugs. They can't stop your quest for highway enlightenment. GEICO insures not only your car, but also that fine-looking bike of yours, with a custom-tailored policy and the best rates for you. So next time you suit up for adventure, make sure to take GEICO along for the ride.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Market strategy investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking about your money. 877-PLANNER is our number. PLANNER, and we'll answer emails here in just a couple of seconds. If you want to get on board, ask your money question. We do have lines open right now at 877-752-6637. Want to get to? Before we get to the email here, one more thing here on gifting. Something I don't know why. We don't hear as much about this whole uniform gift to minors accounts,
UTMAs.
Uniform transfer to minor accounts. You know, at one time, I think people thought that perhaps by employing something like that, they could, especially when the estate tax was a lot lower.
Well, I think
they
it had more to do
those.
With the kiddie tax than anything else. We
you
used
think?
To be able to move money to a child's name and have it be the income be taxed at the child's income tax bracket once they got to age 14. And so we were able to shift, back when we could earn some interest on CDs and things like that, we could shift money to a child's name and, you know, let them pay the taxes at their bracket rather than our own. The kiddie tax used to go up to age 14. Now it goes up to age 19, so that takes away a lot of the issues for mm-hmm. the UTMA accounts. And if that child is even part-time in school, the kiddie tax extends on unearned income all the way up to age 24. And so it took a lot of the income shifting availability away from us, and people just don't use them as much as they used to. At least that's what I've experienced.
Yeah, now, okay, so explain how they work for folks who want to know about them.
Well, technically, a child is not allowed to receive a gift. To receive a gift, the receiver has to be mentally and legally capable of owning assets. And a child technically is not mentally or legally eligible to own assets. And so we open accounts with a custodian who can manage the money on the child's behalf, and so they are the ones that are holding the money on behalf of the child. The child is basically a beneficiary of the account. And so for years, I mean, each of the states have these rules. They either use a Uniform Gift to Minors Act or Transfer to Minors Act to be able to set up accounts in the child's name for the benefit of the child with a custodian, in most cases the parent, in charge of the account until that child reaches the age of majority, or until it reaches the age of majority based on the account titling. Typically, if there's no separate accounting or entitlement to it, it's age 18. Once that child turns age 18, it's the child's money and they do with what they want. The custodian basically is not the one in charge of the money anymore. You can put it up to age 21 if you want, but once the child turns 21, then it's the child's money, and if they decide that they want to take it out and blow it, you don't have any control over it at that point. Now, a lot of people, and we heard this, John remembers hearing this years ago, this is probably back in the 90s, a popular radio host was saying, well, just don't sign it over to them. Get writer's cramp and don't sign it over to them.
Yeah, the writer's cramp defense, which was, well, the kid's supposed to take over this You know, I gave him $20,000, and he's 18 or whatever.
And now it's worth $30,000, $40,000.
Right, and so on his birthday next week, he's going to get it, and I don't trust him with it. And so the advice was, well, all you have to do is just don't sign it over to him.
Well, no, it's not you signing it over to them at all. All the child, if they know about it, has to do is call the company that has the money, whether it's a bank or a financial institution, say, hey, I'm 18. Change the account title to me and me alone. The UTMA is no longer a relevant issue. It doesn't exist. It stops as soon as I hit the age of majority on the account. And I have hit the age of majority on the account. It's my money. And there is nothing mom, dad, uncle, whoever has set it up, who's the custodian, can say or do about it. Maybe I have to prove that I'm that age, so I send them a copy of my birth certificate or my driver's license. But it has nothing to do with mom or dad saying, well, they shouldn't have it right now. It's their money.
Yeah. So
now, I do say that once they know about it, a lot of parents, you know, put money into the kid's name, but they just don't tell them about it. And they help the child do the tax return, and the child just signs the tax return, because how many 18-year-olds know how to do a tax return? Heck, how many 55-year-olds know how to do a tax return? And so the kid doesn't even know that they have earnings in this account, because the earnings are going on their tax return. But if a kid accidentally looks at their tax return and sees, hey, where's this $5,000 in interest coming from that I'm paying tax on? Oh, don't worry about that. You know,
we just shifted some of our money, and it's
that would be a huge account right now.
What's that?
$5,000 in interest?
What would that? That's got to be $500,000.
If it's in a bank account, it's five.
Right? I mean, that's a money market. Is that about
1%?
Maybe
it's not that much. Right now, it's pretty easy to hide it from them.
Whatever. But back in the day,
if they know about it, they can get control of that UTMA UGMA account. And if they decide that college isn't quite what they wanted to do, and maybe Corvette, I always look at that one, but who knows what.
Well, that's where a lot of the money was supposed to go to back when we used to talk about
college.
These. It was for college. And then the 18-year-old home purchase would say, well, gee whiz, you know,
hey, it's party
I'm not
time.
Going to college, or yeah, I was going to, but you, I got this $40,000 sitting in an account. You know, I think I'll take a year
extended vacation.
Right, exactly. I will one down year for me, and then I'll maybe go back to it. Well,
now I remember a friend of mine who actually he didn't have a UTMA account. He had his own account that he'd save money in.
Yeah.
And when he graduated from college, he went to Europe. You know, he went, and he explained that staying 3 weeks, and at the 3 week mark, he sent most of his luggage back. And he kept only enough that he could keep in his backpack, and he stayed for 3 months, 4 months. And what he did was he ran through the money he had saved, because he figured if he came back and he still had money, he wouldn't be all that enticed to look for a job. And so, he had a job, but it wasn't one in his career. So he thought he'd be more motivated to get a job if he'd spent all his money. Now, this was his money. He could do anything he wanted with it. But what if it had been the parents' money that they transferred to him over that time? Is that what they wanted him to do with the money?
Well, that I don't know, but if you're looking to put together a UTMA or UGMA, not as much reason to do so now, but if you are, it might be a good idea to put some kind of highly illiquid asset in there.
Yeah, well, right? That's what some people will do that have built up large UDMA, UTMA accounts, is just before the child turns age 18 or whatever, they put an asset in there that is illiquid, the kid can't sell, so the child is getting the interest from it every year, but they can't just go out and blow the money.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, on a UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors, or UTMA, whatever you want to call it, transfer to minors, the parent or whoever
custodian has
total control over that money.
Up until
they hit age 18. But
as long as they're doing what is in the best interest of the child.
Right. So if you had, $20,000 in there, and it's looking the kid's 16, 17, and they're saying, oh, man, I've got my eye on this really nice car.
They're getting all kinds of piercings and other things.
And you decide that they aren't able to handle it. Well, you could take some of that money and
create a very good income stream.
Well, but it has to be spent on the kid, right?
No, it just has to be in the best interest of the kid.
But that doesn't mean what? Doesn't mean you can pay your mortgage with it.
Well, I have, and I don't know if this is legal. I guess nothing's illegal until it's tried in the courts. I've seen people borrow the money and with a trust deed on the house and pay back 5-7%, on a 15-year note.
Really? Okay.
Haven't seen that lately, but I've seen it in the past.
And as far as we know, nobody looked at it. We have no idea.
I don't know.
Okay.
But most of the time, it's not an issue.
No.
The only time it's really an issue is if the money is significant. And I mean significant. I have seen children sue their parents over taking the money back, over doing something for the parents rather than for the child, because the child was becoming a spoiled, rotten little kid. But we're talking about significant dollars, where the UTMA account was receiving, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of gifts each year from the day the child was born, from multiple sources, multiple relatives. And there was, $800,000 in the account when the kid turned 21.
Yeah. But then
they were very short-sighted, because the inheritance was going to be a lot more than that.
You see, and that's the whole point there. 877-PLANNER, taking a break. Room on the phones. Give us a call. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. Don't go away.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Limited time. See store Staples.com for details.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. and you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Another one bites the dust. Significance to this? I don't know. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. I haven't heard this in a long time. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum talking to you about your money. If you have questions, give us a call. We have room on the phones right now, so call us at that number, 877-PLANNER. You want to get to an email or two, you can send us your emails at wealthed.com. Our website, wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. Richard in Glen Carbon, Illinois. I'm age 57, the beneficiary of a $500,000 life insurance policy. Other assets include commercial building of $475,000, house and home $265,000, cash $100,000. He's got IRAs, Social Security at $2,700 a month. No debts or mortgages. Child with 3 years of college left at about $10,000 a year. Two questions, says Richard. What investment options are best for the $500,000 life insurance? And number two, I'd like to retire about age 60. How can I minimize tax liabilities?
Well, you gave us a lot of information, Richard.
Except
for information that would help us understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. What's best for this $500,000? Well, I don't know. What do you need to accomplish? Well, it doesn't sound like you'll have a pension at 66, not now. You'll have Social Security and you're married, so your spouse will have some Social Security. But what is it that you want this money to do? Do you need to put $30,000 off to the side to pay for the next 3 years worth of education, $10,000 a year? Do you need this to grow? Do you need this? How much do you need in retirement? How much are you making right now? How to set up your tax situation depends on what you're making right now versus what you're going to be making in retirement. I mean, with what you're showing me, $120,000 in IRAs, you're probably, and Social Security, you're probably not going to have much of a tax bracket when you retire. So how you go about managing your taxes is you probably want to build up more tax-deferred money between now and your retirement rather than trying to do something else. So that maybe you live off of part of this $500,000 while you contribute the maximum that you can to the 401k, assuming you can't afford to max out the 401k to begin with. So there's a lot of things at play here, but it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. When you get to retirement at age 60, how much do you need? You've mentioned your Social Security benefit at 66. But I don't know your longevity. I don't know your wife's age. I don't know her life insurance or her Social Security benefit. I don't know how much you need. How much you need is going to dictate, and when you need it is going to dictate how you should invest this money. Maybe you invest it for growth. Maybe you invest it for safety. Unfortunately, we need some more information on this. And same thing with the tax situation. I don't know how much you're making now. And by what you're saying, showing me here, you're not going to have much of a tax bill in retirement, unless there's also a pension that you haven't mentioned. So tax planning today would be trying to get deductions, probably, rather than trying to postpone or take tax-free.
Not knowing what the income, we have no idea what the income is right now, right? I didn't leave that off. No,
he didn't say.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that would be helpful. Minimizing tax liabilities has a lot to do currently, current tax liabilities has a lot to do with how much money you make right now, because you need to know what kind of tax bracket.
And he said he has an IRA, but it didn't mention anything about a 401k. So if he doesn't have a 401k, what does he have any retirement plan at work? Are you self-employed where you can install a retirement plan at work? If you don't have a retirement plan at work and you're not self-employed where you have control over it, then a deductible traditional IRA is probably your best bet going forward. By looking at this, and the reason I say that, you're 57, you want to retire in 3 years, that $120,000 in pre-tax money is not going to grow that dramatically over the next 3 years. And if you start taking distributions out of it, you're going to be in a fairly low bracket at that point anyway. So the future tax bracket doesn't look too bad. So what is your current tax bracket? And I'm assuming you're in a current tax bracket. You're still raising a child, so you have to have some income from some source. So that's why we need a little bit more information.
877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. If you've got a money question, you can call us right now, 877-752-6637. We'll get to some more emails in just a little bit. I also wanted to cover a couple more of these retirement myths. Remember earlier in the week, I think it was this week, we were talking about some of these, Motley Fool put out these five retirement myths, totally debunked. And by totally debunking something, what we were saying was that, honestly, there's no truth to it at all.
So that's 100% one way or the other.
Right, and we don't happen to subscribe to that necessarily. In fact, for the most part, we don't. Two of them, your retirement date will be entirely up to you. Well,
it's partially true, partially not true.
Right, so it can't be totally debunked there. Myth number two, your taxes will be automatically lower when you retire. Well,
that myth is mostly true, but for some people, it's not true. So how do you debunk something that is partially true and partially not
true? Are people more often in the same or higher tax bracket? I mean,
most of the people that I've met over the 20-plus years I've been playing around with this are in lower.
Yeah.
They're in a lower bracket. Now, there are a handful of people that are in a higher bracket, and they usually are in a much higher bracket.
Right. Well, here's myth number three. You should get out of the stock market when you retire.
So the myth is that you should be out of it when you retire.
Right. They say as you age, getting more conservative with your investment portfolio makes a degree of sense because, you know, the less time you have when you're older. Nevertheless, getting entirely out of the stock market doesn't make sense for most retirees. Because people are living longer, your retirement portfolio has to account for the possibility that it could last 30 years or more.
I've never actually heard that you should be 100% out of the market when you retire. I do believe that is the lowest percentage, the time period in your life where you have the lowest percentage of money in the market, but not zero. In fact, most of the people were trying to talk off the ledge and bring them down on their allocation to equities and bring them down into a more conservative portfolio. Most people don't like being in 0% equities or even less than 50%. So it should be tailored, but it shouldn't be zero. Now, on the other side, getting lower and lower as you age, I do believe you get a lower allocation to equities as you get nearer to and become right into retirement. But then as you age through retirement, you can allow the equity portion to actually grow and become a bigger percentage of the portfolio. You know, it's a trick question I ask people from time to time. When should you have the lowest concentration or percentage of assets and equities in your life, at age 65 or at age 95? And from a purely financial standpoint, age 65 is probably where you should have the lower percentage, because at age 95, you can afford to have more money in equities because you don't have to create as long of a distribution for a 95-year-old as you need to provide for a 65-year-old.
What you mean they can't? They should only the fact that they should only be 5% in stocks at age 95. You mean that's not true?
That may be true from an emotional standpoint, but it's not true from a financial standpoint. The idea of how much money you should have in stocks is how much money can you risk? How much money can you afford to let, you know, go through the volatility of the market? And a 65-year-old needs to provide an income for a period of time, a longer period of time than a 95-year-old does. Now, there are some 95-year-olds that live quite a while. We just unfortunately lost the oldest living person in the U.S. at 116 years of age yesterday. So, I mean, some people do live quite a long time, but that is not the rule. Most people don't make it to 95, let alone 116. And so a 65-year-old needs a longer time horizon of a distributable event, which means they need a more secure, safe income than a 95-year-old does. So that's just the way it works.
Yeah, and being out of the stock market, I heard, which I don't believe anyway, but I heard an ad on the radio yesterday driving home. And this person said, hey, you should be investing with me. People who followed my advice were out of the market in 2008, which tells me.
But were they also out of it in 2003, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
Well, there are about 15 different questions that could come out. But let's pretend like somehow.
Did they get back in 2009?
They never said that. Now, to me, I'm thinking about this. Okay, what? So they're totally out, no money going in 2008. Which meant that they weren't buying stocks or buying equities or buying anything in as the market was going down.
Right. Not only was the current money not in it, but the ongoing money wasn't in it either.
The ongoing money was out of it either. I'm thinking, okay, let's pretend like you were out of the stock market in 2008. Doesn't even matter what age you are at this point. And I was in. my account balance went down, but at the same time, I was staying in by dollar cost averaging in, much like what we were talking about on the program yesterday. Who has more money?
Well, unless you can also tell me when to get back into the market.
Right.
Getting out is one step that is very difficult to determine. Getting back in is another. And it was not that difficult to have people get out of the market at some point in 2008. Generally, people wanted to bail out of the market in the last quarter of 2008 after it had already started going down. But it was really tough to get anybody to invest in the market in 2009, the first quarter of 2009. In fact, they thought you were crazy if you suggested getting into the falling market, you know, at that point. So getting out of the market is only one side of the equation. We saw a friend of ours got out of the market in 2011, just before the credit crisis, and I don't think he got back in until 2014. He lost money by not being in the market, even though the initial was a 10 or 12% downturn.
Well, and that was over the course of about 3 months or something.
Right, it was
like
a big drop in 2011.
It was a big drop.
And then it recovered.
It was, of course, it was based on nothing.
Of course. So getting out of the market, fine. Were you out of the market? When did you get back in? Because unfortunately, the people that call the top of the market most of the time have been calling for the top of the market for the past 5 or 6, you know,
yes,
years.
Or the ones who said that they were out of the market, as you said, had been out of the market since 2003 when the last time things turned down, or
yeah,
2002 or whatever it was.
You know, if you even was even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Yeah, the old stop clock.
If you're always calling for a bear market, once in a while you're going to be right.
Well, eventually you will be. In fact, I'm going to start doing that every single day. Tomorrow's the day it starts. And I'll be right at some point. I may have to do it for the next 3 or 4 years, but I will be right. 877-PLANNER. Call now. Trivia and more emails when we come back.
A December 2015 Gallup poll found that nearly three-quarters of those surveyed expected this year to start with stock market volatility. Their concerns were valid. According to CNN and other sources, this January was the worst month in the stock market since 2009. But even though we may have anticipated stock market declines, are we prepared for them? Are we prepared if we should see another market meltdown like 2008? Lucia Capital Group invites you to discuss your retirement strategy and review your exposure to potential portfolio losses if stocks stumble. What alternatives to stocks and bonds might you consider adding to your investment mix? Schedule an appointment with your local Lucia Capital Group advisor now. The consultation and review of your current financial plan is free. Call 800-644-1150 to schedule an appointment. That's 800-644-1150. And learn more at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Set it and forget it. Out of sight, out of mind. Hands off. For many investors, that's how they perceive their 401k plans. Even when they leave their jobs, they leave their 401k investments untouched. Is there more you can do for your retirement with some hands-on guidance supported by a strategy? Learn the options and potentially the advantages. Schedule a rollover review with Lucia Capital Group. Learn how easy it is to take control of your retirement by rolling a 401k into a buckets portfolio. The retirement planning advisors at Lucia Capital Group work directly with each client to develop a strategy geared to their goals. Learn how you may be able to diversify your retirement plan. Take a closer look at the fees you may be paying with an old 401k that's out of sight, out of mind. Call Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
All right, guys. We're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Hi, everybody. Archie Bell. Time to tighten it up.
Hi, everybody.
There it is.
I'm Archie Bell with the Drills.
Now, that can't be right, because he can't be both Archie Bell and the Drills. Unless the Drills didn't exist, and, you know, one person. I always wondered about that. I'm Archie Bell and the Drills. So, you know.
Maybe it's a visual issue where you say, hey, and he's waving, you know, his hand back to the Drells.
No, he wasn't doing that, I don't think. Because, you know, Frankie Valli wasn't, I'm Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. There were four seasons right there, right? How many Pips were there?
I have no idea.
And who cares?
There's one here.
877-PLANNER. How many? Five or six? Really? Were there that many?
Okay,
no, I thought there were like two or three. Oh, forget it. You can tell it's Friday, folks. We're approaching the end of the hour here. If you want to get on board, give us a call, 877-752-6637. Now, coming up on this program on Monday, if you happen to be watching live, we're going to be discussing buying real estate in an IRA. Now, this goes with an interesting article that was given to me by Andy. Thank you, Andy, which we'll bring up on Monday. IRS... attack on illiquid IRAs. The IRS attack on illiquid IRAs. And this sort of goes hand in hand with that. Professor Plum, when we're talking about illiquid IRAs, the reason the IRS is going after these is because they're trying to get valuations on IRAs for required minimum distribution purposes.
Well, and a lot of IRA custodians that allow for real estate, they carry it at the purchase price. And it's been in there. You know, the real estate was purchased back in, you know, 1995.
Right.
And they're just carrying it. Let's see, I paid $200,000 for a building in 1995, and that's what I'm carrying it at. So we're showing that as the number for what the required minimum distribution should be based on, when the current value is like $800,000.
Exactly.
And so the required minimum distribution should be quite a bit larger. But I don't know. The money's going to come out of it someday and be taxed.
Well, it is, and trying to figure out what it is. I mean, you got Form 5498 that you got to file. You're going to get a 1099R.
Well, you don't file with the IRA custodian.
Well, but I mean, there's one involved. You got 1099Rs, and I don't even know what else. But you have things. You have things like real estate and other non-liquid type assets that need to be valued. It needs to be valued every year. Right.
Hard to value assets.
And you're supposed to do it. The IRS is now, I guess, taking a bigger look at them.
Well, they've been slapped around on required minimum distributions in the last couple of years. A study came out 2 or 3 years ago that said that they weren't even tracking required minimum distributions. They hadn't charged anybody with the penalty for years. And it wasn't because people were not missing the RMDs. It's just that the IRS wasn't going after them. So now they're going after them not only for that, but they're saying you also have to get the values right. Come on.
All right, 877-PLANNER. Once again, if you want to email us, we will get to those, another email in
and
just a couple of moments.
To my sources, there were 3 pips.
Oh, you did look it up. 3 pips?
That's what it says.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking there were 2. Somebody said 5. I'm not sure that there were that many. But 3 pips?
3.
Wow. All right. So she had enough money to pay. Maybe later on, as they got more popular, we could afford more pips. I don't even know what a pip costs. And we're talking about way back in the 70s. Can you look up, Google that, cost
of a...
How much
did a pip make?
Cost of a pip. Huh. Okay. Don't look it up. I'm joking. Okay, let's move to the trivia. Man, are we ready for a weekend or what?
Yes.
This comes from... Oh, these people are wonderful. The Economic Policy Institute. You ever hung out with these folks?
No, the parties they tend to keep to themselves.
Yes, well, they should. But here's what they tell us, okay? Only 29% of American seniors, at least age 65, are receiving a monthly pension benefit as a result of their working career in either the public or private sector prior to retirement. The pension benefits counted in the survey are separate from Social Security retirement benefits.
I would hope so. I hope more than 29% of people over 65 are receiving Social Security.
I suspect it would be a whole lot higher than that.
But 29% falls right in line with what I would expect, because not as many people today have pensions as in the past. And so about a third of the population, a little under a third of the population having pensions, it makes sense. I mean, pensions that they're going to talk about, like, when I get to 60, I'll have a pension, but it's not a whole lot. It's from a job I had back when I was in high school and college. And
it's something.
But
you know what it
I'm
is?
I'm not going to turn it down.
It might be a couple of bags of groceries. You never know.
Or that's a couple of gallons of gas by then.
Well, I don't know.
Or solar panels or whatever they are using by the time I get to that old. I mean, come on.
Well, I had the same thing. I've got 2 pensions. I've got an old radio station pension, and I've got an after pension, a union that I belonged to for all those years.
And you're going to get about the same as mine.
I believe it's close. One of them is about 200-something bucks a month. The other one is about 375 bucks a month.
I knew about the second one. I didn't know about the first
one. Okay. Well, they tell you what, it's not necessarily going to make a huge dent, but it's something.
Hey, it's something? I'm not turning it down.
I will take that. All right, 877-PLANNER. Do I have time to answer this? This was a question that we didn't get to before, and this was from earlier in the week, and I saved it for the end of the week. How do you get out of a 401k? Do we have enough time to answer that?
How do you get out of a 401k? Sounds like a song.
Prior to age 55 is what this is.
Well, you call the company and say, send me my money.
Well, the various ways.
There's lots of ways to get out of a 401k.
Well, I mean, okay. First of all, if you're under age 55 and it's the company that you're still working for, I suspect
if you're still working for the company, the only way to get money out of a 401k is either through a loan, if they will allow you a loan, or a hardship withdrawal, if they allow you the hardship withdrawal. Those are the ways to get money out of a 401k. Obviously, the loan requires you pay it back over a 5-year period of time. A hardship withdrawal is taxable and penalized. No way around that if you're still working for the company. Now, if you've left the company, you can ask for a distribution. Of course, if you take a distribution and you left employment before 55, there is a penalty as well as the taxes. And so you can roll it to an IRA.
Yeah. Now, okay, so what about Roth conversion in this?
You can convert. I mean, if the company has a 401k Roth option, you can convert within the 401k from the traditional 401k to the Roth 401k. But that's if you're still working. Now, unlike a traditional IRA, where you convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, where you have all the way up until October 15th of the year following the year of the conversion to undo it, to decide that, well, this may not have been a good idea because either the investments went down or you just don't want to pay the taxes, there is no undo button on a 401k conversion to a Roth 401k. If you do it within the 401k, that's it. So you better be darn sure that you don't want to ever undo it because they're not going to let you. It's a done deal.
Well, what are you saying? If you regret because it adds to your income and it's going to create more taxes?
Let's say in January of 2015 or even June of 2015, you converted $50,000. And you're looking at it now, or a couple weeks ago.
And you're saying, what's it worth?
It's worth $30,000. I want to undo it. Nope, can't do it. Still
sorry.
Have to pay the taxes on the 50.
We saw that back in the late 90s, too, on just regular Roth conversions. Okay, if you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Rick Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. You can also contact them through our website, wealthed.com. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.